There were five guys on a helicopter, a Boy Scout, a pastor, a doctor, the pilot, and the smartest man in the world. The pilot came on the intercom and said, "Mayday, mayday, we're going down, and I've got bad news. There are only four parachutes on the plane. So you guys decide who is staying, but I'm jumping now." He grabbed the parachute and he jumped. As the plane started to, or the helicopter rather, started to head towards the ground, the doctor looked around at the other men and he said, "Listen, I've saved lives my entire life. I think that I should get a parachute." He grabbed one and jumped off of the helicopter. The smartest man in the world looked at the pastor and the Boy Scout with a smug look on his face, and he said, "You know what? It would be a shame, wouldn't it, for the world to lose the smartest man?" And so he grabbed one, and he jumped off of the helicopter. The pastor's eyes started to fill with tears as he looked into the face of the Boy Scout, about 9 or 10 years old, and he said, "Listen, I've lived a full life. You've got your whole life in front of you. I know, because I've repented of my sins, I put my faith in Jesus, I know where I'm going when I die. So, young man, you take the last parachute, and I'm ready to meet my maker." And the Boy Scout said, "No, you take this one, and I'll take that one, because the smartest man in the world just jumped out with my backpack." Before you take a major plunge, you better know exactly what you're doing. Don't you think? More than 3 years ago, we began discussing elders in the life of PBC. We've studied this, you could say ad nauseum. We've studied God's word for years about this topic. And 2 weeks ago, we voted, and I'm told what was the largest voter turnout in PBC history. And there was a landslide vote to approve not just this brand new constitution, but three men to serve us as elders at PBC. And today, we're going to officially be taking the plunge by formally installing these men, laying hands on them, praying over them, and installing them to the office of elder. But before we do that, I think it's good that we know exactly what we're doing. So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13 again, verse 17. Once again, I think it's on page 1198, rather, if you're following along in the Pew Bible. The letter to the Hebrews is written by an unnamed author to a group of Jewish Christians, probably a church. But we know they're Jewish, which is why the letter is called Hebrews. And we mainly know that because there's so much unpacking of the Old Testament throughout this letter. We don't know who wrote it. We know he wrote it to believers. We know they're likely Jewish. And we know the purpose of the letter. If you read through the letter to the Hebrews, you know the major theme throughout the letter from beginning to end is that Jesus is better. He begins by talking about how Jesus is better than the Old Testament prophets. And then he says he's better than angels. He's better than Moses and Joshua. He's better than Aaron and all the other high priests. In fact, he's better than the entire priesthood order, the writer of Hebrews tells us. He's better than the old covenant. And because Jesus is better, Christians, followers of Christ, should live lives of persevering faith. That's the message of the letter to the Hebrews. Now, if you're reading that letter or hearing it for the first time, there would likely be a question that would come up as you're listening to what one of the author has written. You're saying Jesus is better than, he's better than Moses, he's better than Aaron, he's better than Joshua, he's better than angels, he's better than the prophets, etc., etc. If Jesus is better than all of these earthly leaders, then maybe earthly leaders don't matter. But at the end of this letter, the writer to the Hebrews shows us that we obey our earthly leaders, specifically he's talking about earthly leaders in the church, because Jesus is better. Because Jesus is better. So here's the big idea I want to get across this morning. Because of our relationship with Jesus, church members and church leaders should rightly relate with one another. Remember the smartest man in the world? He took the backpack and plunged. He needed to know what he was doing before he began. So I want to just remind us one more time, as God's people here at Pocosin Baptist Church, what it is that God calls members to do and elders to do. And by the way, when we use the word elder this morning, we're referring to the office of pastor. We Baptists believe that whether it's pastor or bishop or elder or overseer or presbyter, all these different words you might find in your New Testament, we believe they're all referring to the same position, what we often call pastor. So two main points this morning. Members, we're called to submit to the leadership of our elders. Again, pastors. And pastors or elders, we are called to shepherd the souls of our members. Look with me one more time at Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. First lesson, members, submit to the leadership of your elders. Those two words in verse 17, for some of you, might feel like fingernails scratching a chalkboard. Obey and submit. Well, those are not 21st century American words, are they? Now, I know that the inner attorney right now in your head is probably revving up, trying to think through some way to get out from underneath those two words, obey and submit. So I'm going to help you this morning. Okay? What I want to do real quick is tell you what those two words, obey and submit, mean in the original Greek New Testament. You ready? They mean obey and submit. Very good. Okay? They mean exactly what they say. Maybe you wonder, well, why does he use two words? It could be, and I think probably it is, that obedience is referring to our actions, and submission is referring to our attitudes, our heart. So you might think of the mother who is driving to school one day, and little Johnny's in the back seat, and he's standing up as she's driving him to school, and she says, Johnny, sit down. Johnny doesn't sit down, and so she says it again, Johnny, sit down, and he doesn't sit down. And so finally, she slams on the brakes, she reaches back, she pushes him down to the seat, she straps the buckle, and he's sitting down with a big pouty face, and he says to his mom, Mommy, I am sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. External obedience without internal submission. It's possible, Christian, it's possible for you to submit with your actions, but not with your attitudes. The writer of Hebrews here wants us to do both. So what I want to do for members here is I want to show you what submitting to your elders, to your pastors, doesn't mean, okay? Just a moment, we're going to install these three men, John Rogers, Mike Kloss, and Mike Lindell, as elders at PBC. So when you think about submitting to these men and myself as another elder, what does that not mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you submit in everything. It needs to be said. It doesn't mean you submit in everything. You are called, church member, to submit to pastors, elders, as they follow Jesus. You don't submit to spiritual leaders into sin. If your leaders teach you something contrary to God's word, you are right to resist it. In some ways, being an elder, being a pastor, is a lot like being a babysitter. It's not because you're babies. It's because babysitter has delegated temporary authority. Think about it. If a babysitter comes and watches your kids, they don't have ultimate authority over your children. They have a delegated authority, and it's only temporary until mom and dad get home. So too is the authority of an elder or a pastor. He has delegated authority from Christ, and it's only until Christ himself returns. So you don't submit to your elders in everything. Number two, it doesn't mean that you blindly follow everything. elders, pastors, we have authority to lead Christ's church. But that doesn't mean that we can't be respectfully questioned. Doesn't mean you can't ask, why are you doing that? If you've ever ridden in the car with Holly and I, you have heard more than once my wife question my leadership while I'm driving. Why did you turn there? Where are you going? What are you doing? And usually she's right, because usually I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what I'm doing. Now, I honestly welcome those questions, because were it not for my wife sometimes saying things like, do you see that red light right there? If it were not for that, we would have gotten in a lot of accidents just last week. So I'm grateful for the respectful questions asking me, is this the way, is this really what you mean to do? Is this the right direction? The same is true in the church. Church member, it's okay to ask these men, the four of us as pastors, elders here, it's okay to ask, do you know where you're going? Are you sure? It's okay. It doesn't mean blindly following. In fact, we would invite you to search the scriptures, to respectfully ask questions and ask us if we're sure this is the right way. This does not mean blind submission. Number three, it doesn't mean that you agree on everything. There may be times when the elders at PBC might lead you in a direction that you don't fully understand or agree with. Can I suggest to you that I think that that's fine? I think as a general rule, unless your pastors are leading you in a clear violation of Scripture, as a general rule, your instinct should be to follow, even if you don't fully understand or don't fully agree, unless we're clearly violating Scripture. You ought to call us out on that. John Piper puts it this way in a sermon on the same text. He says, a church should have a bent toward trusting its leaders. You should have a disposition to be supportive in your attitudes and actions towards their goals and directions. You should want to imitate their faith, and you should have a happy inclination to comply with their instructions. That's what we're talking about here in this text. Well, the fourth thing it doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that you submit to pastors everywhere. This passage right in front of you, Hebrews 13, 17, is a local church command. This is a command for church members to submit to their church leaders in their church. You are not called to obey and submit to everything that every pastor everywhere says. Okay, so if Charles Stanley or John MacArthur or John Piper or David Jeremiah or whatever other preacher you can think of, if they say something, you're not called to submit to them. You're called to submit to the leaders in your own local church. So maybe you're here this morning and you're not a member of PBC. Right now, your inner attorney is saying, this is great. You definitely shouldn't join this church now, because they actually expect me to follow and obey. I would just remind you, dear Christian, by resisting leadership, by resisting church membership, you are cutting yourself off from one of the most important gifts in all of the Christian life, and that is godly men to shepherd your soul. Maybe you're here and your inner attorney says, Jesus will shepherd my soul. I don't need elders or pastors to shepherd me. What if Jesus is the one that said you need godly men to shepherd your soul? After all, it was Jesus who said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And it was Jesus who went to Peter after the resurrection and said to him, feed my sheep. And it's Jesus' words that shows us how a church ought to be structured. Dear brother, sister, please do not avoid commitment and membership in a local church, because your soul needs to be shepherded. Well, the second responsibility, second lesson for us to learn from this passage, first, members should submit to the elders, pastors in their church. Secondly, elders must shepherd the souls of members. Look at verse 17. He says, we obey and submit to our leaders, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Now, before I dig into that a little bit more, let me just stop for a second and remind us, elders, pastors, are church members too. So John, Mike, myself. We ought not to think of ourselves as only affected by this second category of leading and shepherding. We're also called to be submitting. This is one of the important reasons for a church to have multiple leaders, so that we can submit to one another, so that we have others who are shepherding us. Well, so what does it mean then to shepherd souls of members? It means, first of all, that we know them. You cannot watch over souls that you do not know. You see what he's saying, verse 17? They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let me ask you a question, dear Christian. Whose soul is a leader, is a church leader, supposed to watch over? Every soul that ever walks through the doors? Every soul in his geographic area? Every soul he ever meets? I would suggest to you that a pastor, a shepherd, is called to shepherd, watch over the souls in his local church. Again, membership is really important. And by the way, it's also really important that a local church has an accurate and up-to-date assessment of who really is a member. How can we watch over souls if we have members on the list who have been gone for 10 years? It's important that we have a membership list that allows shepherds to know those that we're called to watch over. But it doesn't just mean knowing who they are, it also means knowing them. Your shepherds are called to know you, dear church member. Listen to what Richard Baxter says. It's necessary that we should know every person that belongs to our charge. For how can we take heed to them if we do not know them? We must labor to be acquainted not only with their persons, but with the state of all our people, with their inclinations and conversations. What are the sins of which they are most in danger, and what duties they are most apt to neglect, and what temptations they are most liable to? For if we know not their temperament or disease, we are not likely to prove successful physicians. Mike, John, myself. I think the image of a physician is helpful for us, isn't it? Think of a doctor who knows his patients. Even if he can't remember every detail, he keeps notes and remembers so that he can care for the body of his patients. So too, an elder, a shepherd, a pastor should care for the souls of the members of his church. We must know them. We must teach them. We watch over souls by faithfully feeding them God's word. This is one of the reasons why one of the qualifications for an elder is that he be able to teach. 1 Timothy 3:2. In his little brown book on elders, Jeremy Rennie says that as far as the teaching ministry of the local church, elders have three responsibilities. They should participate in the teaching ministry. So your elders, and they do this, they've been doing this for a long time, they faithfully teach you God's word. Some of it in Sunday school, sometimes in discipleship groups, sometimes from the pulpit, sometimes leading prayer meetings or Sunday night services, but they're called to participate in the teaching life of the local church. They're called to protect the teaching in the local church. Listen, one of the responsibilities of the elders is that we watch over the teaching that happens in the life of this body. That means that what happens on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Sunday school and nursery and student ministry, all of it, if it's under the umbrella of Pocosin Baptist Church, the pastors of this church ought to seek to protect and ensure that that teaching is faithful to God's word. That's a heavy task. The third way we participate or we're involved in the teaching ministry is by perpetuating others, by raising up disciple makers who also will be able to do these things in the teaching ministry of the church. Elders shepherd their flock by teaching them God's word. We do it by praying for them. Part of shepherding souls means praying regularly for you. If you're here and you're a member of Pocosin Baptist Church, one of the things that we commit to you as your pastors is to pray regularly for you by name. Regularly for you by name. James 5, verse 14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, by the way, this isn't because elders get like a super prayer badge or something, right? Like we're the really good prayers. Probably we're the ones that are struggling the most, if we're honest. But God has so ordained and designed in the local church that shepherds ought to bring the needs of the people to the Father. Now, you can go directly to the Father, but also your shepherds on your behalf will go to the Father for you in love. So, dear church member, when life hurts, know that we're praying for you. Come to us. Let us pray for you specifically. When we don't know exactly what you're going through, we need to know how to pray for you. Come to us so we can shepherd you through prayer. Four, it means that we lead them. Shepherding souls means leading souls. It means leading us in the right direction as a church. Now listen to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that's among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Notice that elders, pastors, we're not called to lead domineeringly. You see that right in the passage, don't you? We ought not to dominate over the sheep. We ought to lead you humbly. We ought to lead you by example, but we ought to really lead you. I would challenge the elders in the room, Mike, John, and myself. There are many things that we can do in ministry without godliness and without the fullness of the Spirit. We can lead meetings, we can prepare, we can deliver messages, we can organize and implement programs, we can win elections, we can head committees, but we cannot help people abide in the Lord. To produce godly people, we too must be godly. To produce people of prayer, we too must be people of prayer. To produce people who walk close to God, we too must walk close to God. It's from Dr. Schnabel in his commentary on Acts. I heard a professor say one time that the most dangerous thing about ministry is that you can learn to do it. You can learn to do it on your own without God's help. We ought to be people that lead you by example. Number five, shepherding the flock, shepherding souls means that we pursue them. We pursue them. We sang this morning the hymn, "Prone to what? Wander." Is that true of you, Christian? Prone to wander? Is anyone prone to wander in the room this morning? What about the people that aren't in the room this morning? Are they prone to wander too? There's lots of different ways that we wander as Christians. We can wander into theology that contradicts our statement of faith. We can wander away from faithfulness to the church covenant by failing to faithfully attend. We can wander into sin. There's lots of ways that sheep wander. And one of the responsibilities of us as elders is that we will pursue wandering sheep. Listen to Matthew 18. Jesus says this, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." What does a good shepherd do with 100 sheep? He'll leave 99 to chase after one. And so too must we do, men called to be elders at Pocosin Baptist Church. Charles Jefferson, in his little book, "The Minister as Shepherd," said, "The minister who allows one sheep to drop out of his flock without a wound in his heart and without lifting a hand to bring that sheep back is not a good shepherd." It's hard, but true. And one of the hardest things, men, John, Mike, is that we must pursue wandering sheep knowing that sometimes wandering sheep bite back. knowing that sometimes wandering sheep don't want to be pursued, knowing that sometimes it hurts. And yet we do this because we love you, but there ought to be a deeper love than our love for you that fuels us. You know, I love you deeply, Pocosin Baptist Church, but let me remind you, you are not always lovable. And I don't have any example in mind, in case you're thinking. You're not always lovable. Neither am I. Neither are you. There has to be a deeper love. What is the love? What is the well that we draw from to pursue even wandering sheep that don't want to be pursued? To guard the flock from wolves. To be faithful day in and day out when we're weary and tired. What is the well from which we can draw? That is the love of our great, good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Think about the way that he shepherds you. Does he not shepherd you, dear Christian, even when you wander? Does he not chase after you? Does he not pursue you in love even when you bite back at the Savior who died for you? He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the number of your days, and he loves you anyways. He teaches you faithfully. Jesus, even now, prays for you and prays for us and prays for this church. He leads us. He chases us down. He is a good shepherd. And when we really, really get that, men, we can shepherd with joy. You see that in the text? Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. If we as elders grumble and complain as we shepherd the sheep, that doesn't really help you, does it? But if we do it with joy, it's a blessing to you and to us. We do it with joy because we look to Jesus. And we need your help to do this, church members. One way you help us is by praying for us. See, right in the text, verse 18, he says, "Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things." There's another way that you can help us, and that is by participating in a time of commitment to one another. In Paul's letters to Timothy, we learn that one of the ways that elders are set apart is through prayer and laying on of hands. 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you." In 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." I still remember the day that I was set apart for ministry and a group of pastors laid their hands on me to set me apart for the work of ministry. I tell you, sometimes when ministry is particularly hard, I can draw back on that day and reminded of that day to help me be faithful today. I think that's what Paul's asking Timothy to do. He says, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So when we lay hands on these men, I'm asking you guys to come forward. Mike and John, if you guys come and stand right up here. When we do this, we lay hands on these guys and pray over them. What we're doing is we're setting them apart as men that the Holy Spirit has called to the office of elders. And we are committing to pray for them. If you have your bulletin, you'll notice the vows that we're going to ask these guys to commit to. So I'm going to ask you guys, you just sat, but I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to face the congregation, if you would. And I'm going to read these. And I'm going to ask you guys, after I'm through with this list of promises, if you would just respond by saying "we do" to the congregation. And then congregation, I'll ask you to make some promises to these men. Having repented of sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, having been baptized and having been made a member of Pocosin Baptist Church, having faithfully served for many years in many capacities, having prayed and studied and read and grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and having aspired to this office of elder, and having been approved and affirmed to that office after careful examination by the pastor and members of Pocosin Baptist Church, do you now promise, by God's grace, to strive to lead a life worthy of emulation, to joyfully watch over the souls of this flock as one who will give an account to God for each of them, to always preach and teach with the day of God's strict judgment for teachers in mind, to pray believingly for the sick, to shepherd God's flock that has been allotted to you willingly, eagerly, seeking to model first what you ask of them, to serve the Lord with both joy and tears, to resist every temptation, to shrink back from declaring the whole gospel, whether in the privacy of someone's home or the public square, to preach repentance and faith in Christ alone, to willingly accept suffering should God place you in a position where obedience requires it, to value the calling and gospel of Jesus Christ above your own life, to guard the church as the blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ, and thus to care for her as his most valuable possession, to stay alert at your post, even willing to rebuke fellow elders who preach or teach any doctrine not found in God's word, to live as if it is more blessed to give than to receive, to carefully weigh the words of the preached word in this assembly, to willingly suffer for Jesus' sake hardship, physical torture, betrayal, inconvenience, exposure, disappointment, persecution, sovereign weakenings, calamities, and the daily pressures of concern for the church, to value the word of God over an argument won, to train yourself in godliness, to labor and strive with persistence in the work of your ministry, giving God all the glory for any success, to address men's lives as well as minds, calling others to follow your personal growth in godliness and sanctification, to keep close watch on your own life and your own doctrine, to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, to never quit, give up, swerve from, or slack off in your effort to fulfill your ministry, not even when you're tired and suffering, to despise the allure of riches in this world, and to live for the eternal wealth of Christ's presence in heaven, to guard the sacred deposit entrusted to your care, to teach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that men, women, and children will understand how to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with good works, to value Jesus above your wife, your children, your church, your ministry, your knowledge, yourself, and anything else in this world, to speak to God's people with gentle authority, to be zealous for good works, to not be ashamed of the gospel or the Savior, regardless of the audience, to flee sin and run toward being a man of God who handles the word of truth accurately, to correct the ungodly with gentleness, not quarrelsomeness, to preach the word of God in season and out of season, rebuking, reproving, and exhorting with complete patience and teaching, to entrust your soul to the faithful Creator, no matter the blessing, the trial, or persecution. If in the sight of God and these witnesses, you do now set your heart to make this pledge, promising that when you fail, you will seek both forgiveness and restoration as soon as is possible, then I call you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, to answer, we do. We do. Now, this is the part where if you're our guest, you might feel a little awkward, but we don't intend this to you. We don't want to ask you to make a promise if you're not a part of this faith family. So for those of you that are members of Pocosin Baptist Church, would you stand and face these men, your elders? And I'm going to ask you if you would commit to obey these men and submit to them as they submit to Christ, remembering that they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Will you let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you? To encourage and identify God's grace in their lives, especially the grace of humility, remembering that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Commit to pray for them, that God may open to them a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, that they may make it clear as they ought to speak, and to pray that they will finish their course and the ministry that they have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. If you commit to this, will you answer and say, by saying, we do? We do. You may be seated. Brothers, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to kneel here. And I'm going to pray over these men and lay my hands on them as I pray. And I would ask you, church member, and all of you here, if you would pray alongside me in your hearts as I pray for these men. Father, I thank you for Mike Clausen. Lord, I thank you for setting him apart for the office of elder in your church. I thank you for the ways that you have gifted him and equipped them for this ministry. Lord, I thank you for this church that has seen his giftedness to serve in this role. Father, I pray that you would help him to lead with joy. Help him to keep his eyes on the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would be faithful to follow his leadership. Father, I pray for my brother, Mike Lindell. Lord, I thank you so much for my brother, my friend. I thank you, Father, for his service here for so many years faithfully at PBC. I thank you for the ways that he has served as an elder without the title. Lord, I thank you for this church that has recognized him for the office of elder. Lord, I pray now that you would help him to lead this flock. Lord, I pray that he would lead them, not domineering over those in his charge, but he would be an example, that he would point them to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that he would lead humbly and joyfully and pointing them regularly to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for the people of Pocosin Baptist Church that they would lovingly, gladly, and joyfully follow him as he leads. Lord, I pray for my brother, John Rogers. I thank you so much for this brother and friend. Lord, I pray that you would help him now. Lord, I just thank you for the ways that you have worked in his life through the years to prepare him, to set him apart for the office of elder, of overseer. We know, Holy Spirit, that it was you who did this because you tell us in your word that it's the Holy Spirit who makes men elders and overseers. And I pray for John right now. Lord, I pray that you would fill him with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would use him mightily to lead your people here at PBC. Lord, I pray that he would do it with great joy and great humility. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. And I pray for the members of this church that they would see this brother as a great gift from a great God. Lord, I pray the same for all my brothers. And I pray for their wives as well, Lord. I pray for Ramona. I pray for Sandra. And I pray for Beth. And I pray that you would protect their marriages and their families from attacks by the evil one. Lord, now we commit these men to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. 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 You guys can have a seat. Have a seat.